Doug shared what Christmas meant to him this season. I find myself always, it seems like every Christmas season, taking something different out of it. And that's what's so really, really interesting about this story. My mind was drawn this week to the spiritual struggle that was taking place around Jesus' birth. And I've taken a break from my Sermon on the Mount series that I've been doing. The next subject was fasting, and I didn't think fasting was an appropriate sermon for this morning because it is a celebration. But not only is it a celebration, I want you to be very aware of the spiritual struggle that was taking place at this time. In this sermon, I would love to draw a parallel between the wise men's search for Jesus, for the Christ child, and the search for Christ that we all take on that defines who we are and where we will spend eternity. This message, I don't think, will paint a pretty picture, like a manger scene type scenario, but it will paint a picture of the struggle Christ faced in coming to this earth. In this sermon, I don't want to miss that struggle between Satan and God for our very lives. The story of the wise men was a really difficult time for many who lived in Bethlehem. And I want to share with you the true reason why Christ came to earth as a little child and why we, in return, should worship him with all of our heart. The purpose of this message is really evangelistic, that it would touch your heart enough to join in the battle and to seek out the Christ and make him Lord of your life. Entitled my message, Wise Men Still Seek Him. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to give the account, read the account of the wise men here in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. It's a very familiar passage, but try to follow along and hear some of the struggle that's in this passage. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the young child where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So the first part of my message is the search that the wise men went on. And how this search started was by them seeing a star, a simple star. Actually, a simple star might be the wrong thing. It was a pretty significant star because it made them think that there was a Christ child or a king born somewhere in the land of Israel. So the search began with a star. And I don't know how the wise men from the east even knew that there was a king coming to Israel. Other than I was doing a little research, and in Numbers 24:17, Balaam prophesied. You know the guy that had the little talking donkey? You probably heard that Christmas song somewhere. But Balaam was from the mountains of the east, and he prophesied this, that a star should come out of Jacob, pointing at a scepter that shall rise out of Israel. Never saw that prophecy before. So Balaam was from the east, and he prophesied this. And I wonder if down through the history, this story was passed along, and now at this very time, the wise men heard this prophecy, saw the star, and made the connection. The next thing that the wise men did, they followed the star. And they came to Israel, and they asked where they might find the king. And they came in, and they went to the most logical place, the leaders and the rulers. And they heard the prophesied word. And the word said this, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." They were pointed to him by the prophesied word of God. I find that very interesting. But you know, even though they were pointed by the word of God, they were almost got derailed by a deceiver, by Herod. When Herod heard what they were doing, Herod wanted them to go in and find the child, and Herod said that I might worship him too. But Herod was a deceiver. What he really wanted was to destroy the baby child. In this time, in Bethlehem, Herod the Great was the ruler over all of Israel. Herod the Great had Israel in bondage, and they were looking for a deliverer. So when you talk about a deliverer coming, this rang true not only for Israel, but I think it rang true for the wise men seeking them. There was just bondage everywhere. Herod the Great's empire was huge. The Roman Empire was happening this time, and the whole world seemed to be under bondage, and they were looking for a deliverer. I want to focus a little bit now on today's search for the return of the triumphant Christ. Or maybe it's just a search for that Christ who can make a difference in your life. I want to turn now to John chapter 1 and verse 1. I want to read this passage. Again, another very familiar passage of Scripture. And as I read this, I want you to think about what Christ has done in your life and who he is and how that can make a difference in your life. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You think about Herod the Great here in this time of history. This was probably when Jesus was around 2 years old, or a little younger than that, Herod sends out a decree that every baby boy in Bethlehem would be killed. Can you imagine the turmoil going on at this time? This was not a small thing. Every baby boy was killed. And then in Matthew, the passage right after what I read, Joseph and Mary took flight and went to Egypt to escape that. I mentioned the spiritual struggle. That spiritual struggle was just as real for Mary and Joseph as it is for us today. Satan wants to destroy your life, just like Herod wanted to destroy every baby boy. Here's a question for you. Did you ever wonder if the wise men knew it was such a great prince was to be born, why didn't they just wait in their homeland and wait for Christ to come to them? Why did the wise men go seeking this Christ? I think the parallel is very significant with us too. Because if we just sit where we are in our nice little church benches and we don't seek wholeheartedly after Christ, nothing's going to change. The birth of Christ doesn't have a lot of meaning if we don't join in the battle, if we don't realize there's a battle for our very souls right with us as we sit here today. So our search is very similar to the wise men's search. It starts with a star. You know, a star can represent hope. And I want to give you a story from history. This is not an actual story, but it happened many, many times. In the mid-1800s, at a very, I don't even like to talk about this part of our history, but slavery was all over our country, especially in the South. And slaves were brought into these big plantations to work in these plantations, and they were working in terrible conditions. In fact, They would argue that it wasn't that bad. They had food and they had work to do, but they had no freedom. Not only didn't they have freedom, but many slaves were separated from their families. Women, their baby child was yanked away from them and sold to another farmer down the road. Separated from their families. When they didn't get the work done, the crack of the whip always kept them in their place. And for the slaves, they had no hope anymore. They just woke up in the morning and it was back to it again. And they felt that whip come down their back in the middle of the hot sun, and they had no hope. But they knew to the north, there was hope. And they started to plan how they would escape. And rumor had it that there was safety in the north, and if they followed this little star in the north sky, the North Star, they could get from the south to the north and above the Ohio River and freedom. And some of those slaves tried to escape. And they followed that star. And every day was terror because they knew people were hunting for them. They were terrified. They waited till night so they could travel. And they followed that star. And that star led them actually through some of the parts of Lancaster County here. And you see parts of the Underground Railroad down along the river. And up through here were good people, gave them refuge and hope. And the next night, they would go out and follow that North Star to the north. There's a song that the slaves sang called Follow the Drinking Gourd. And you can find a North Star in the sky. If you look at the Big Dipper, and the drinking end of it, if you see the last two stars, it points directly to the North Star. That's how they could find the star. And they followed that star to a new hope, a new future, to get across that river. The Ohio River, when they got there, was really dangerous. It was deep, it was swift, and it was hard to cross. And some of them actually waited till winter when that was frozen, and they could cross over on the ice. For many of those slaves, their hope started in a star in search of freedom. Many people's lives right now, even in this church, you may be asking questions like, how did I get to this place of darkness, this place of captivity, this place of slavery? Is this what life is? How do I escape from the pain, disappointment, and heartache of my life? It's a verse in the Bible that I've always loved. The light of the world is Jesus Christ. That light illuminates the darkness of our lives. And some of you may be sitting there and you're really discouraged right now. You're discouraged with friendships. You're discouraged with your life, where you're at with your life. I was at that place one time too. Couldn't have been any darker. But I gave my heart to Jesus, and the light of the world came in and shone a spotlight on my life and just eliminated the darkness. In Hebrews it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The next step in our search may be simply asking, where can I find this Jesus? Many people don't even know how to ask this question. They don't even know what they're looking for. They don't know why their lives are empty and broken and miserable. I want to put out a challenge to you. If you have found him, if you have found the light of the world, it is imperative for you to point others to Christ. If your life, on the flip side of that, if your life is in chaos right now, quit trying to get out of the darkness all alone. Christ will help you. You guys know what it's like to be lost physically in the woods or in the dark. And until you see a light, you're just going around in circles. I've been there. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. The prophesied word is another way we continue to search for God. John 3:3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Just as the wise men were almost derailed by the deceiver Herod, we get pretty messed up by another deceiver. Look at John 1:11 again. Actually, verse 10, we'll start there. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. My plea is for this congregation, for everyone sitting in this room today. God has come unto you. You know it. You understand it. You've heard it at least. Don't make the same mistake the people of Israel made. Jesus came unto his very own, and they didn't even accept him. The light of the world, guys, is right there for you to take. So when your life is in chaos and your life is all screwed up, the light of the world is Jesus. Don't be derailed by Satan and his miserable lies, telling you you're not worth it. You're no good. I don't have friends. Nobody really loves me or cares about me. I'm just here, existing. God has so much more for you than you can even imagine. The conflict of this story is in this beautiful Christmas story that we hear every year, there is an incredible battle raging in heaven. There was an incredible battle raging in heaven and on earth. And, you know, Herod and the wise men, they were seeking for two different reasons. Herod was seeking out of jealousy and hatred. Herod was seeking to protect his throne and pride. Herod was seeking to preserve his lifestyle. He was seeking to expand his territory. In his search, he destroyed every baby boy 2 years old and younger. The wise men were searching for a totally different reason. They were searching out of a reverent curiosity. They were and hope. There was a hope of deliverance for them, looking for light, looking for the light of the world. And when they came to him, they worshiped him. They wanted to worship this new king, this new deliverer. Satan is much like Herod. He is seeking to protect his kingdom, and he will use any means necessary. And many of you, I know I have, for me, he will use any means necessary. For me, when I was 16 years old, the means he used was just a really tremendous lie to me that I wasn't good enough, that I didn't measure up to the people around me. And he took that lie and I made it my own. And I struggled with that lie. Every day I struggled with it. Every day I thought I wasn't good enough. Every day he told me I wasn't good enough. It was that real. Again, Satan is seeking to protect his kingdom. You understand the conflict, right? Satan was kicked out of heaven because he thought he was as good as God. And when he was kicked out of heaven, he holds a grudge that will never go away until Christ comes again. You see, the wise men were looking for a deliverer, but I'm also looking for a deliverer. Because one day, in the blink of an eye, Christ is going to come again. And if we're not ready for him, we're going to miss the ship. But those of us who are waiting and watching and ready, we get to go with him and leave the cares of this earth behind. To leave all Satan's lies, all the chaos that he causes in our lives, we leave it behind. Satan also wants to expand his territory. You know, you may be sitting over here, and you may be Satan's next victim. I hate to say it that way, but that's how he views you. Not as someone to be loved and cherished and sought after, but he wants you to mess you up and to mess you up real good. He wants to expand his territory. He will destroy you as a person, and Satan could care less what that looks like. We must seek like the wise men. I want to flip over to Matthew 24, and I want to read this passage of Scripture. And it spoke to me, and it's talking about the second coming of Christ And it spoke to me in a new way when I read it, that of the spiritual conflict that is there. Matthew 24. I'm going to start at verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." I'm going to jump down to verse 36. "But of that day and hour, no man knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days there were before the flood, there were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in that watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season?" This passage is talking about what's it going to be like in the return of Christ when he comes back to this earth again. The wise men, 2,000 years ago, sought for him because they knew he was going to make a difference in the world. My challenge to you guys this morning is this: to seek after the light of the world, to search for him diligently, to search for meaning, to search for that meaning in Christ. I want to just challenge you that when you see Christ and you think about Christ this Christmas season, he came as a baby because of a spiritual battle between Satan and God. And he came so that he could die for our sins. And I think Marcy's Sunday school class, she said, imputed for righteousness. He became righteousness for us. And when you find that Christ, give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Or in other words, just give him your heart, everything about it. Don't hold anything back in your heart, and worship him and praise him. The King has come, and the King will come again. Are we wise and ready for his return? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. I just pray, Lord, that you would, this Christmas season, I pray that we would join in the battle which you started way back when you kicked Satan out of heaven. And that battle has existed for each one of our souls since that point. And I pray, Lord, that we would join the battle. First of all, we would just give ourselves to the light of the world, and He would clear up the darkness and the chaos in our life. And then when we have found that light, we would shine that light to others who need it desperately. I pray this in Your name. Amen.